You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, coming to you from Island Community Church. Thank you for joining me here today, friends, on this Tuesday. God bless you here this Tuesday. Lord God Almighty, I pray for my extended family out here, everyone out here that I consider my brother and sister in the faith. Lord, I thank you for them. Some have been here with me and us here and friends at the radio station for many years. Lord, I pray for my extended family. Be with them today. Bless them. Send your angels around them. Send your angels around their children or grandchildren. Protect them at school. Be with them. Watch out over them. Lord God, I pray for this radio program here today now, Lord. Lord, I pray that you'd speak through your word. Open up our eyes here to the truth. Help us never to be deceived, because that's the Lord's number one warning, not to be deceived. Don't let anyone deceive us. Open our eyes to the truth, dear Lord, and we praise and exalt you. We magnify you together, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I thank you for joining us here on this Tuesday. I came down pretty hard on myself for this sermon Sunday. I didn't like it after I was done preaching it. And after hearing the first part on the radio, maybe I was a little tough. Maybe I was deceived by the enemy that I preached the wrong thing, that I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have told people how to overcome. I shouldn't have, especially a few days after this terrible week all of us have had, to preach on how to escape hell, how not to be deceived. And I really was hard on myself, and I think I was wrong, because this message always needs to be heard, how to overcome. You look around here today, and I made the comment in this sermon that more people rejoiced here in the United States at the death of Charlie Kirk than Muslims that rejoiced on September 11th. I believe that that's true. I personally there was no such thing as Facebook. I didn't know one person that was glad after what happened on September 11th. It was the radicals were glad, but not anybody else. And now I look and I see and I, you know, people are deceived. Now, this sermon came about on Monday, prior to Wednesday or Thursday, whatever day that Charlie Kirk was assassinated. And it came from a Far Side comic of the devil. He always liked to draw Satan. And there's a somber, and this certainly is. Maybe some people thought it was funny. There's a man trapped in an elevator with the devil. And the devil's got his little red suit on and his little pitchfork in his tail. And the man there with the glasses, you can't see his eyeballs. And they're on the elevator, as you know, fifth floor, fourth floor, third floor, second floor, first floor. And right below first floor was an H. And the devil said to the man there on the elevator, he said, "Press H for both of us." And what a truth that is. You know, there comes a time in a person's life that the devil's just, he doesn't need to lie anymore. And it's ironic. He never lied to God. He lied to God the Son when God the Son had flesh, had skin on, and he tried to get him to sin. He lied to him. But he never lied to God the Father. That's where we started on this. Why lie to him? Don't waste your time. And now there comes a point here where there's just, now it's just press H for both of us. How did I end up in this elevator with this devil? What can I do if I find myself here? Because Christians are always thrown to the lions. Literally sometimes, proverbially other times. What do I do? How do I overcome if I'm trapped in this elevator with this devil? Thank God the Bible gives us the answer to that. Now, this is part two of this sermon. I encourage you, listen to part one. Watch the sermon. The video was uploaded on the Island Community Church YouTube. Go to the on-demand of this radio station, WMIEFM.com, or on your phone, on the app here. Go to the on-demand. Listen to yesterday, Monday's program. Hear part one, because that's where this got started, how to overcome. It's out of the book of Revelation, chapter 12. You overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That is, your sins have been obliterated by the Son of God, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. That's how you overcome. Because when the blood obliterates your sin, there ain't no devil in hell that's got anything on you. You overcome by the word of your testimony. That's right, testimony, like you were in court. Your left hand down on a stack of Bibles, your right hand up, and you say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Thirdly, you overcome that you don't love your lives to the death. Let's call that, I love Jesus more than I love myself. That's the launching point for this sermon. Here's part two of this message. Press H for hell. I was taught in college religion was just a crutch for weak people. Some people go into college fine and they come out and look at the things that they do after they come out. I thought this guy here was disproved in the Middle Ages. You mean you're real? That's what I get from that. Thirdly, you overcome by this truth. You love the Lord more than you love yourself. You love the Lord more than you love yourself. Verse 11 again, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Christians throughout the centuries have had to make a choice. It's lost on us today, at least here in this country it's lost on us, where your choice today is Jacksonville Jaguars on CBS or Tampa Bay Bucks, or today the Giants and the Dallas, 1 o'clock. Or scrambled or fried, or sweet or unsweet. I mean, those are the choices we have here in this country, right? But the real test is, do you have what it takes to prove the devil wrong when he says that you will do anything to save your own hide? All right, now the second thing I want to look at here this morning is this sentence here from verse 12, from Revelation 12. It says, for the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan. Then it says, who deceives the whole world. This is how you end up here in this elevator. And how you end up hearing the truth from the devil for the first time in your life at the end of the line when he says, press H for both of us. If he presses H for you, friend, it's because you have been deceived. You've been deceived. It's to think that something is something while something is actually something else. My definition, to think that something, Jesus, is something. Just a good teacher with nice fluffy sayings. While something, Jesus, is actually something else, that would be the Savior of the world, praise God. Get that wrong, and this elevator is rapidly approaching your floor. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. John 14:6. The Apostle Peter says, nor is there salvation in any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus said, I am the door. All who enter in by me will be saved. Jesus made this statement here as his number one warning for those nearing the end of the age, as we are when I look around here today. When they ask them, tell us, when will these things be? What will be the sign of your return? What will be sign at the end of the age? Jesus answered and said, take heed, that is watch out, that's be careful. Don't let anyone deceive you. All right, now turn with me. Let's flip over one chapter to chapter 13. Starting in verse 11. Revelation chapter 13. I want to show you how this picture, which was meant to be funny by the author, is seriously sad and shocking. What a shocking picture this is. That I could end up here with him and look like that? That's a shock to me. How about you? Matter of fact, it's not the slightest bit funny. But it's true, nevertheless. It is true. So we've gone from being deceived in the here and now, not acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord, not receiving him as your Lord and Savior, and all that will get you into this elevator here. Now, next up, I want to show you how all this is going to play out in the very, very near future. Shall we take a look at tomorrow's newspaper? What do you think, church? I like it. Look, I'm trying to ensure you don't end up in this elevator. And I'm trying to show you how people by the millions can laugh and throw a party when a righteous man dies. How prophetic is that? What's happened this week? You get a righteous witness to die, and people rejoice. People rejoice. You know, I'll say it again at the end, but I'll say it now. More Americans rejoiced at what happened to Charlie Kirk than Muslims rejoiced on September 11th. It is what it is. You see, this is a prophetic problem here. We're moving down because the book of Revelation warns us that you'll know you've reached the end of the age, that when righteous people start dying, the Bible says the whole world sends gifts to one another and rejoices. There must be a few million people rejoicing right now at the death of Charlie Kirk. There probably was no such thing as Facebook in 2001, but I don't know one person that rejoiced on September the 11th, 2001. I don't know one. The only Muslims that rejoiced were the radical ones. Even Yasser Arafat didn't rejoice. Read what he said when it happened. But here they rejoice. It's prophetic. It's what I want you to see. We're not even going to look at that here today. But read that sometime if you want. Revelation chapter 11. Read the time when there's going to be not one, but there's going to be two men out here speaking the truth to people. And when they kill them, the whole world's going to send gifts to each other and rejoice. Now, Revelation chapter 13. We see two of the main end times players here. The false prophet, starting here in verse 11, and someone called the first beast, who is the man of sin. It's the famous Antichrist of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 13, starting in verse 11. That's where we're at. John says, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. Remember, understand the symbol. What do you got? I got two horns like a lamb. The lamb is who? The dragon is who? You got a counterfeit Christian here, right? I think he's going to say his name is Elijah. Look what he does. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence. And he causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, or worship the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. That sounds like Elijah, doesn't it? He's the last one that I know of that's ever done this, had the ability and the authority to call fire down out of heaven. Verse 14. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, saying to those that dwell on the earth to make an image, make an icon to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give breath. Now, the King James Version has the word life here. It's the Greek word pneuma. Read what he just said. This false prophet, he has the power to give life to the image of the beast, so that the image should both speak and cause as many as would not worship it to be killed. And he causes all, small, great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, so that no one may buy or sell except he who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding count. Actually, the Greek word here is calculate. And it's a command. Calculate the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man. His number is 666. Again, look at the expression on this man's face. His look is priceless. How did I end up in this elevator with Satan? Number one, because you flat out rejected Jesus Christ. And you've rejected God's love that he's offered to you. You rejected Jesus Christ, and you rejected God's love that he's offered to you. This here is your destiny. Or number two, you were deceived. That's even more sad. You were deceived into it. Now, one last place we're turning to here today. If you guys would, turn with me, please, to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I won't keep you much longer, I promise. Right after Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, right before Timothy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. All right, here we go. This is the Apostle Paul's take on this. He says, the coming of the lawless one, again, that's this Antichrist dude. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders, like we just looked at, right? Lying wonders, calling fire down out of heaven, having the ability to give life to something. That's a lying wonder. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one again is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because, look at that word there, he's telling you why this is going to happen. Catch the word because in your Bible. Because they did not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. See, there's only one truth that saves. Ultimately, this is here and how you end up here in this elevator, because you would not receive love and the love of the truth. Now, that makes you upset that God loves you. You're upset. I mean, that's the whole definition of deceived. Who gets upset because somebody loves them? What a thing to die for. Because you're upset that God loves you. Anyone here upset today that God loves them? I mean, Jesus died for this message. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. They strung him up on a cross and killed him for the message that God loves you. I want you to see, you're deceived to end up in here for the most part. Either you flat out rejected him or you've been deceived. That's how you end up here in this elevator. Because you rejected the love of the truth. And we know what the truth is, because the truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. He is truth. He is the living embodiment of truth. It's a man, the man in the glory, Jesus. He said in John 18:37, everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Verse 11 in the end of the line. For this reason, that would be what? Rejecting love. You're upset that God loves you. How dare God love me? You see, something's wrong with your thinking if that's where you end up. I mean, who naturally would be upset at something like that? For this reason, God will send them. Okay, so there's reason number three for ending up here in this elevator. Number three, you have earned it. You've earned it. You refused love. God's offered you his love and you've refused it. That's the third reason that you end up here. Look at what's going to happen to everyone who refuses God's offer of love and salvation to everyone out here today. Look at the end result. For this reason, God will send them look what it says, a strong delusion, so that they should believe the lie. Then the elevator doors will open and the porter of hell will say to you, going down. And I declare to you this day, on the authority of the word of God, that you will enter that elevator and go down instead of up. If you say no to the love of God, now this message I know is not for the people here in this church. Maybe someone else is going to hear that. I want you to see that if you're upset that God loves you, friend, you've been deceived. You've been deceived. That's not natural to be upset that someone loves you. Even if your worst enemy loved you, you wouldn't feel that way. You know what? You'd say, you know what? He's not a bad guy after all. But God loves you and you spit in his eye. He says you will believe the lie. To know what he means by that, all you got to do is look at what he just said a few verses earlier. If you're still in that text of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Look what he said a few verses earlier. Regarding this man of sin, Paul said, he sits as God. He sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that, in my opinion, is the lie. Antichrist is God. And I'm not that far from the truth, I'm sure. He sits as God. Fact. He sits in the temple of God. Fact. He's telling everyone that he's God. Fact. As to you believing it, that's entirely up to you. That depends on what you do with Jesus Christ and what you do with the love of God. Do you embrace the love of God today? Or does that make you upset? What do you do with the love of God? He's extending it to you today. He's throwing a life preserver to everyone out here. Receive God. Receive his offer of love and salvation and the remission and forgiveness of sin. All you got to do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive him today. What do you do with him? Are you upset that God loves you? Or do you embrace it that God loves you? If you scorn the Son of God and reject him today, then you'll take part in this next laugh fest that's going to go on here in this country. Maybe you say, oh, no, not me. I could never do that. If you reject the love of Jesus Christ and say no to his love, then you'll be part in the next little laugh-a-thon love fest they have here in this country. At the next time they kill a righteous person here in front of everyone for the world to see. I'm telling you, on the count, on the authority of the Word of God, receive, refuse his love here today, and you'll be a part of that next one. Revelation chapter 11:10 is eerily similar to what happened this week as people rejoice all over America at the death of a good man, Charlie Kirk. It's a prophetic glimpse of what's coming up soon. That didn't happen on September 11th. More Americans rejoiced at the death of Charlie Kirk than Muslims rejoiced on September 11th. Now, as for all of you here, you believers here at Island Community Church, I say this. When those elevator doors open and the devil asks you a question going down, you respond to that devil, nope. I'm going up. I'm not going down. I'm going up. In Jesus' name, by golly, I am going up. I'm not going down. That's your response. I am not going to hell with you, devil. You can and you will go to hell. But not me. Because heaven is my home.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.